Welcome to significant science. Let's get to the show.
Imagine these scenarios. You are walking down a small street in your town. It's late at night, and the streetlights are broken, so you're essentially walking in darkness. Though all of a sudden, you see a faint glow in the distance. As you get closer, the glow gets stronger and brighter. It catches your eye, so you walk directly towards it just to see what is creating the light. It's getting even stronger. Finally, you are right upon it, and suddenly, it meows. It is a glow-in-the-dark cat. Next scenario. It is a spring day. The birds are chirping, the flowers are blooming, and you and a loved one decide to go out for a stroll in the park. The sun embraces you, and the warm spring air makes it feel like there is nothing wrong in the world. You notice something odd, though. A strange tone in the birds' calls, as well as the fact that the noise didn't seem to be coming from the trees, but below you. You continue walking. The noise is getting louder, and you see a sewer grate. You walk up to it to look inside, only to see a rat's nest. A singing rat's nest, full of rodents singing and chirping the same way that birds do. These scenarios seem like something out of Goosebumps, though both of the animals I just described are scarily real. In 2011, scientists inserted a gene into multiple cats that would help fight against a disease known as FIV, which is closely related to HIV in humans. To help mark the genes they inserted, they loaded each one of the new cells with a fluorescent green protein. Though this did more than the experimenters could ever predict, causing the cats to glow noticeably whenever it was dark. And the rats are just as real. Unknown until the early 2000s, all rats sing a sort of song when trying to woo a mate. It is just too high-pitched for human ears to pick up, thus we can't hear the noise. So Japanese scientists genetically engineered rats that chirped in a lower tone, creating this bird-like tweet. While most have a relative idea of the science of genetic engineering, the true definition is the deliberate modification of the characteristics of an organism by manipulating its genetic material. Though most of the time when dealing with genetically modified organisms, we aren't dealing with glowing or singing animals, especially here in Indiana, as the most modified organism throughout the world is soybeans and corn. Miss Rushing, a genetics teacher here at Carmel High School, explains one genetically modified food here in Indy.
So there is a type of corn that's called BT corn. BT stands for Bacillus thermogenesis, and it is a corn plant that has had a bacterial gene transplanted into it via this genetic engineering of sorts. The reason for doing that was because there's an insect that likes to feed on corn, that if the corn has this particular gene in it, then when the insect feeds on that corn, it will kill off the insect, and so they can't reproduce. And so it helps to get higher corn yields and those kinds of things.
Genetically modifying plants has been a common practice for many years now. While issues have been faced, no real evidence has surfaced that these GMOs could ever harm us in any way. Though the modifying of animals has only recently been dealt with, the science is new and much more controversial, though it could be extremely useful. Modifying animals could help them resist disease and disabilities, as well as give them new traits that would help them in their fight for survival. Though there is one animal that has had laws placed against ever being genetically altered, with good reason, and that animal is humans. These restrictions aren't there due to the science. We have the capabilities to modify human embryos already. It is the ethics debate that has become a serious argument in the scientific community. Basically, we have figured out how. Now people are just asking, why? It is unknown what other effects could come from modifying a human embryo, as well as just the basic idea of leaving things such as characteristics of human beings to nature, rather than trying to play God. These bring up many questions and possible debates. But to get an unbiased opinion on the matter, I asked just a few Carmel parents a simple question. Do you think it's right to pick characteristics for children before they are born?
Who has the right idea of what's right or good or perfect?
Sometimes imperfections lead to more beautiful things.
Taking a chance that I could have harmed you or it could go wrong would not appeal to me. I would rather have my kids the way they are.
Your idea might be different from my idea. How do you get to decide what the right or good thing is? So I don't think that morally we can decide that. So we have to deal with what we've got and the way we get it.
Sometimes imperfections lead to greater things. Sometimes imperfections lead to challenges that will be overcome, that are a far greater climb and a far greater achievement than people who are not experiencing those things.
The relative tones of these interviews seem to be negative. People cringe at the idea of a test tube baby. And I think it's easy to understand why. Most people enjoy the element of surprise. When raising a child and watching it grow, having things predetermined takes the originality out of it, and a little bit of the fun. The science of genetic engineering can do great things for humans without changing appearance or personality. Preventing disease, handicaps, and more are all a part of the practice, but it has a bad rep. When people eventually realize it can do more than make your baby glow in the dark, hopefully they will accept it, and we'll be able to explore this weird science indefinitely. For WHGA Radio, this has been Jack Michael. For more episodes of Significant Science, head on over to WHJE.com. For more info on genetic engineering, Kurzagach in a Nutshell has a great video over the subject on YouTube.com.